Yes, we've got another belter. It's one of the best left backs I've ever played against. Definitely the cutest. Gary Naismith, thanks for coming on, mate.
No problem, it's a long time. My Dobbs was telling me that you were trying to get me on for a while. So
I was, but you patched us.
You never phoned me.
I thought you'd be busy with the job, but now you're out of the job. Perfect
plenty
time.
Plenty of time for you now.
How are you enjoying the wee break?
I'm bored already, to be honest. It's only been 2 weeks. I'm desperate to get back in.
Are you going to look to get back in the summer?
Yeah, straight away, but you're in that unfortunate profession that you've got to wait on somebody else losing their job before you can get back in, so that's what I'm really going to have to do. I'm going to have to wait on somebody else, getting the sack or leaving, and then put the CV in and hopefully get an interview and then talk my way into a job.
Just chilling on the Everton ways just now then, huh?
I'm past the Everton wage.
Is that
I'm past the Everton wage.
Andy, with the boss.
Andy Sheffield United. I'm on to the Huddersfield wage now.
Right, we'll go right back to the start. Jamie Carragher and Simon Ferry once said that nobody wants to be a fullback growing up. Is that true for you? Were you a fullback?
No, I wasn't. That was unbelievable. I show these children the trophies now. I've got trophies for scoring 150, 160 goals a season. I was a centre forward, centre midfielder. I was close to signing for Chelsea, leaving school as a. They played 3-5-2 at the time. Glenn Hoddle was the manager. I was the middle man of the five in the midfield. And I decided I didn't want to move down to England, so it came down to going to Hearts or Hibs. And my family being jambos, I had to really go to the Hearts. And I got in there, and within the first week, Walter Kidd was a youth team coach. He says, I think you'll have a career as a left back. I was like, left back? I'm a centre mid. At the worst, a left mid, or I'm a striker. He says, no, you've got to play left back. And 18 months later, I was in the first team as a left back.
Did he tell you why he thought you'd be good at left back?
Hi, he was. He thought that as I went up the leagues, he thought I wasn't the quickest to play in there. And he actually thought I seen things quite quickly, and I was a good passer, and I was fit. You know, I maybe wasn't the quickest, but I was fit. So he thought running up and down the wing, he maybe, you know, obviously he played fullback, Walter Kidd, so I started playing there. And to be fair, I actually enjoyed it. You got a lot of the ball. You could see the full game in front of you. I liked overlap, I liked running. You know, I was one of the few players that actually enjoyed running. So it worked out well. You know, I've got a lot to thank him for. I always have a laugh and a joke with him about that. And
see, if you say centre midfield, you think you maybe never had the career that you went on to have?
I probably wouldn't have. You know, I did end up playing a lot of games in centre midfield. You know, I played for Scotland a few games centre midfield. I played for Everton for a right few games in midfield, actually, under Walter and Archie, especially when we were struggling near the bottom of the league. And
he must have been struggling with you.
Oh, we would fit five or six defenders into starting 11 to get a point.
But as you said, family Hearts fans growing up, were you the same? Did you used to go to Tynecastle?
I have to be honest, my dad was a big, big Rangers man, and right. I was born a brought up a Rangers fan, but my dad worked on a Saturday, could never get me to any of the games. About five or six, my uncle was taking my sister and my cousin that to the games. He says, look, do you want to start coming to the games with us? And I sort of grew into being a Hearts fan. So I wasn't born and bred like Lockie.
Right.
But I still class myself as a Hearts fan now.
Who were your players did you like watching at Hearts?
Robbo. I like watching Robbo scoring the goals. I just, and luckily enough, still one of my good pals now, you know, for playing with him. And then I was actually texting him this morning on my way in, so somebody that I keep in touch with.
Everyone says he's a top man, is he?
He is. He's given me a lot of good advice, especially in the last couple of weeks when I've lost my job. But even before that, when we're going through the sticky run that we were on, he was on the phone or texting or stuff like that. And no, he's a good, good guy.
Brilliant. Started at Hutchie Vale though. How is that? Why did they do so well? What is it that they did? Is it the coaching? Is it?
Again, I was one of the ones that I was actually lone head, and then I went to Tynecastle for 3 years. And obviously Tynecastle and Hutchie are the big, big rivals. Eh? It's like Hearts and Hibs. And it was actually my mum at under 14 says, look, you have to leave Tiny Hutchie or better. I was like, I'm not going. She said, no, you're going. She said, I'm forcing you, you're going. So I went and signed for Hutchie Vale purely down to my mum. And it was, we had an unbelievable team. Just 1 year, we won every game. I think we won the Scottish Cup final 6-0, and out of that squad, 18 or 20, I think 16 signed like YTS or apprenticeships with senior clubs. Like we had a really, really good team. But even then, it shows you how hard that is, because there was only really myself that sort of had a full career at it. Big Andy Laurie had a career at, he got a few games at Falkirk and stuff like that, but there wasn't many out of that team that actually made a career playing their whole, you know, 15, 20 years.
How come Hutchie Vale do so well though? Is it just the good scouting, getting boys in?
I'm not really sure, but it's uncanny, really. My daughter actually plays for Hutchie Vale girls' team, and she's had a few games for the women's team, but I don't actually know, but they're the top team. You know, if you say to anybody out with Edinburgh, name a boys' club in Edinburgh, they'll name Hutchie Vale.
Uh-huh. Right, so on at Hearts, YTS, how was that coming through as a young boy at Hearts? Tortured?
Wasn't he too bad, actually. The as I say, Walter kid. Really strict, well, like really, really strict, you know, but in a good way. We would train in the afternoons, we'd do all the jobs, you know, the washing. We couldn't leave until all the washing was done. Every player only had two sets of kit. We had to wash it, get it dried for the next day. Cleaning boots, putting the covers on the pitch, stuff like that. But very, very thorough, Walter. See, if you, he wouldn't check your jobs every day. So one of us would go, right, Walter, we've done our jobs. He'd say, right, away you go. But every now and then he would come and say, right, I'm going to check it. And he'd maybe just go on top of like a locker or that, see if there was any dust or anything. He'd keep you there at 6 o'clock, or you'd get running or stuff like that. So you actually learn not to cheat. You've just done your jobs every day. But that was really, really good. Paul Hegarty, Peter Houston. And then obviously worked into the first team under Billy and Jim.
How long was it before you were up to him in the first team?
It was quite quick when Billy and Jim came in.
Did they take a liking to you straight away?
I think Billy had tried to get me...
He's been places, you know that? Brilliant, that.
Aye, I followed on for him at East Fife. I'm well aware of that.
Were you quite close to giving that speech as well?
No,
this time, have you done that?
No, but I do get what he was on about with the disconnect with the fans and the players, because it was still there when I went in. You know, it took us a bit of time to actually get everybody as a one. But I think Billy and Jim had tried to get me for Falkirk, and then, you know, obviously when I said I was going to go to Hearts and stuff. So when they got appointed, I was quite happy because I thought they quite liked me. And it was quite quickly I was in training with the first team with them.
How were they with first team kids going into training with the first team? Are they quite tough on you?
Yeah, good and but fun. You know, I had made a few games, made a few appearances. I always remember we went to Portugal, I think we were having a break, and I think it went in my head a wee bit, really. I can't actually remember anything I'd done or said or that, but I remember them pulling me in Portugal and saying, listen, you've went Billy big time. They says you've had 10 games or something, and we can quickly just put you back into reserves as soon as we've brought you back up to the first team. So when we get back, they says you're on your last chance. Wow. And we were away to St Johnstone in a game, and I actually scored, and I never really looked back since then, but it was an early indication for me that you know, you didn't take things for granted. And I probably, maybe, I can't remember what it was. I don't know if I wasn't training as hard. I don't know if I was maybe gone out too much of that. I don't know exactly what it was, but I can remember they weren't happy with me, and I sort of very quickly got told that if I didn't step into line, I'd be out the picture and freed.
Did you liken it even when you were younger, huh?
What was that?
A night out. Did you like a night out even when you were younger?
I enjoy it. Folks say to me, what do you do in your... I'm good at all the pub sports. Pool, darts, dominoes, snooker. So that's how I was brought up. My local village, you know, I came from Lonehead, and that's how you were brought up. You know, we never played golf or anything like that. It was just street sports. So into the pub, if you went in with your dad, he said, look, you can come in with me for a couple of hours, sit there in the corner, and somebody say, look, do you want a game of pool, or do you want a game of darts, or something like that. So... And that's what I like. I'm not really a nightclub sort of person, you know. Even like when we're at East Fife, I don't know if you can. I never done it at Queen of the South, but when I was at East Fife, one Sunday I'd take all the players, the directors, everybody through to Lonehead Miners, take them through, maybe get there for 1 o'clock. The local guys in the pub would run a snooker and pool competition. All the players would get involved. So maybe, for example, Nathan Austin or Kevin Smith could get drawn with just a local person as their partner.
Right.
We'd do that to 5 or 6 o'clock, get the local chippy to bring up some pizzas and stuff like that, and then the lads would go away into Edinburgh, and the directors and the staff would stay in the Miners Club.
Brilliant. So, you get a job, I'm your first signing. That sounds like a nasty. You said you got your chance, 17, the famous game, 4 Hearts players sent off. What do you remember that?
Well, I would probably be the only... In the lead up to that game, I was travelling. He played reserve games on a Saturday then, so I was sort of getting taken out of the reserve games to travel with the first team to get the experience. So that was one of the games at Ibrox where I wasn't obviously stripped, so I'm not in the stand. I must have been the only Hearts fan that was actually happy, because like the first one, so this is like my reaction up in the stand. So the first one, I can't remember who it was that got sent off in the, what order, but the first one got sent off and it was a defender, and I thought, we've got to be up against this here. And then the second one got sent off and I'm sitting thinking, oh my God, this could be about five or six. And then the third one got sent off and I thought, by the way, I've got a chance of playing the cup game here, because it's automatic suspension, they're all defenders. And then the fourth one got sent off, I was like, because I knew I was going to be playing, eh? Like, just to myself. So, and that's how it was. I still call him the gaffer. Jim pulled me on the Monday and told me I was going to be playing. And then, obviously, that was my, I'd played the year before in the last game against Motherwell. I'd came on as a sub, but that was going to be my first start.
And were you nervous?
Shitting myself.
And was Jim Jeffries good at stopping that, or was... would he kind of put more pressure on you?
They had a unique way, sort of speaking to you, Jim and Bully, to build you up about games and that. But for that game...
Celtic in the League Cup, wasn't it?
Celtic in the League Cup, playing against Di Canio. I knew I was going to be playing against Di Canio, right against them. And they had a top team, Di Canio, Andres Thom, George Cadet, Simon Donnelly, Jackie McNamara, people like, obviously Scottish players, but good Scottish players. And I knew, regardless of who it was, that... even if they swapped them out, I was going to be playing against a top player, so you're nervous about that, and that probably used up some of my energy. But luckily enough, we had to actually get a big boy, Andy Thorne, up for Wimbledon. At that time, you could just bring somebody up for like a month. Right. He literally flew in, met us, and played. played in the crazy gamut, went big, big, physical, strong boy, great guy. I've seen him a few times since, and he played. I think Alan McManus got drafted and he played as well, and we won 1-0. We Robbo scored after extra time, and I had an all right game, but I think because you're 17 and it's against Celtic, I got the man of the match. So it was one of these, you got that Coca-Cola mountain bike, I've still got it, nobody's ever sat in it.
Is that what you got?
A mountain bike, still got like the spokes, like with a big Coca-Cola, still got all the stickers and everything. It's nobody's ever sat in it.
Brilliant. How was the Canio playing against him?
I actually done all right against him that game, but it was a game at Parkhead playing against him. The boy's got the corner flag. Me and Gary Mackay's running, so he's running the corner flag here. Gary Mackay's running this way, and I'm running this way for the goal to get him. So the two of us have got him, and I can remember Kai shouting, "Don't film him, don't film him, we've got him, we've got him." So I'm running in ready to smash him, thinking, "I've got him here, I'm going to smash him." And Kai shouting, "Don't dive in, don't dive in." So I didn't dive in, so I stood in. He rolled the ball, flicked it, threw my legs, nutmegged me, ran off the pitch, got it at the other side. Me and Gary Mackay standing looking at each other, going, "Where's he gone?" He's in on goal, the two of us are at the corner.
Getting off each other.
So he was a difficult opponent. He was a difficult opponent. But see, getting back to Jim and Bully, this is how they could speak to you. And you wouldn't have got away with it now. I don't think the youngsters these days could take it.
Could deal with it,
if you were playing well, right? So how it would come in, the gaffer would come in, he'd read the team out on the team sheet. So 1-11 then, so it'd be like 1 Roussey, 2 McPherson, 3 Naismith. Then in the background, there's a wee tactics board, all the magnets, wee bullies there ready to say. So he would go around the player speaking, right, "Gio's want you to do this, man." So he'd get to me, right, so see if I was going well, it could be like this. "See you, son. You're the best left back in Scotland. How you've not been capped for Scotland, it's fucking beyond me. Lad, see if you're struggling today. Just get the ball to him and he'll take us 60 yards up the pitch." And the gaffer, "Didn't he turn back? Just go forward. Didn't he pass the ball back? If you pass the ball sideways, I'm taking you off." He had to go forward, right? But see if you were playing bad. This is how they would try and build you up.
I love it.
"See you. See you, son. You're money orientated. 3 contracts you've had. Well, I'm telling you, this is your last chance. If you didn't play well today, you'll be out the team and you'll be sold." And this is you going out to play a game. They're trying to build you up.
Oh, that's tremendous, isn't it?
But
did you enjoy it?
It worked, aye. It just worked. It just, unbelievably, it just worked for me. You know, I quite liked that. I liked the sort of black and white manager. Even when I went down to Everton, Archie was like that. Black and white. Came in, told you exactly how it was after the game, didn't hold any grudges, back in the next day, working day, said his piece, and you move on and you just train.
Have you took any of that into your management?
I didn't speak to them like that. No.
Like you say, because they
I don't think they could take it. I honestly don't think they would take it now. You know, I think especially at the part-time level and that, you've got to make sure the players are enjoying it and they want to play. I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. You've got to get the players wanting to play for you because they're earning a lot of money, so they've got to enjoy coming to their work. They've got to make sure that they want to come and actually take part and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, definitely. You said, obviously, you got man of the match, you won 1-0. Is it hard for a young player? Do you find yourself getting a bit Billy Big Time?
I can't actually remember. Like, I can't remember, like, buying things or that, but I think it would have been more... maybe no training as hard, or maybe because Billy's daughter Lindsay was similar ages to me, she'd probably say, "Oh, Gary was here," or "Gary was there." You know, she knew my circle of friends, so it was probably more things like that. And I don't think you're aware of it when you're a youngster, but you know, once they told me that, I quickly, you know, and I sort of changed. I'm still friends with a lot of the people that I grew up with. But I sort of went into another sort of group of friends, you know, the friends that I was growing up with that were 7, 8 and that were starting to, they were going out every night and they were all drinking and all of that sort of stuff. And I sort of thought to myself, so I had to sort of detach, still kept in touch with them and occasionally went out with them, but sort of had to make a wee sacrifice. That was probably about the first sacrifice that I had to really make, because just thinking about it was what I wanted to do. I'd worked hard, you know, one of the ones lucky enough to come through boys club football and get taken on, and I didn't really want to spoil that opportunity.
Brilliant. After the Celtic game, did you still go out?
Gary Mackay took me back to a pub in Loanhead. He says, was all your family? I don't actually think my dad was there. My dad was a long distance lorry driver, so I don't think he was at the game. My mum had got taken, she couldn't drive. I think Kai said to me, "Where's all your friends and family?" I said, "They're back," and I think it was called Brandy's at the time, or Gaffer's. He says, "Right, go in." He says, "Have a shandy." He says, "But I'm telling you now, didn't have any more than that." He says, "Because you'll be playing again on Saturday." He says, "After that performance, you'll be playing again on Saturday. Even if all the lads are back, you'll be playing." So I was just about to get out of the car, and he says to me, "And do me another thing." He says, "Did you get any money for making your first start?" I says, "Aye, £2,000. It was in my contract." He says, "Right, when you get up the road or in the morning," he says, "ask your mum if she wants anything." I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, as a thank you to your mum and dad, ask her if she wants anything," right? So, went in, had a shandy, all my family and that.
You
were
got
there.
Steaming, didn't you?
No, I never. I never. Because, like, when the older players, like, you know, we had really some really good senior players, Gary Mackay, Robbo, John Colquhoun, Craig Levine. You know what I mean?
So,
like,
you listen to them.
So, I woke up in the morning, said to my mum, "Mum, anything you'd like for the house and that?" She says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Well, I've got £2,000. I says, "Once you take the tax off of that, the win bonus and stuff like that," I says, "I want to treat you to something." I says, "Anything you want." I says, "I'm got to buy you." She says, "Really?" I says, "Anything you want, Mum." She says, "Whew, I wouldn't mind a new carpet for the living room." I says, "Right, fine, we'll go and get it." She says, "And see that fireplace that we've got that sort of goes up?" She says, "I wouldn't mind getting that taken out and getting an electric fire." I says, "Much are they?" She says, "Well, 200 or 300. I says, "Aye, right, we'll get that as well." And she says, "See if we're actually doing that." she says, "We'd be as well getting a sofa and giving the room a wee licky paint and that." Putting up a Dido rail and stuff. Okay, I had £100. £100 I left out of 2,000, but...
Did that feel good to
you? It just felt good. Do you know what? My mum and dad sacrificed a lot. We didn't have a lot. My mum would get me football boots out the catalogue and pay them up at £2 a week over 52 weeks or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My dad had to, he was a coalman and then he was a long distance lorry driver. So he missed a lot of my Scotland games here and that. He missed half of them. Just be working to provide. And we had to rely a lot on friends and family to get me to the training, because there was a stage where I was maybe 13, 14. I would maybe be out training, and I can't remember all, maybe Monday night, Dundee United, Tuesday night, Hibs, Wednesday night, Boys Club, Thursday night, Rangers, Friday night, Hearts, playing with the school on a Saturday. And my mum couldn't drive, and my dad was away, so we relied so much on friends, family, Boys Club coaches and that to get me there. So, but just to actually say to my mum, "Look, there's a wee thank you," it did feel good.
Brilliant, eh?
It did feel good
to help. See people like in the pub and that, did they start treating you different once you got in the first team?
No, that's one thing about Loanhead. They'd never, like, see there, I'll give you an example. See there with Queen of the South, when the Masters was on, there's two parts of the games room in the Miners Club. There's a bit through the back, you play the pool, the darts and the snooker. There's a bit through the front where the bar is with the big plasma and stuff like that. So we were watching the Masters, so I had backed Tiger Woods to win, so I wanted to watch the golf. So I've been through, I was watching it on the big screen, and the regulars stood the back, they have the jukebox and that on anyway, just as Tiger was playing. But I was still on the job at the time, they all stood up, yeah, getting sacked in the morning, sacked. You know, it's like that sort of place. And then when I went in and I had lost my job, they says, you never even got sacked in the morning. They said, you got sacked in the evening. So it's that sort of place.
Because the next season was obviously the iconic season, 97-98 Scottish Cup. Played in every round. Did you feel like a proper first team player then?
I did. Because I was keeping Neil Poynton at the team, you know, Neil Poynton had played at Everton and Oldham and stuff like that, and I knew I had to. It's that one where you know it keeps you on top of your game, because some he was waiting, but he was brilliant because he's came up the road to play. You know, I don't think they expected me to emerge as quickly, and he's came up the road to play. But oh, what a top guy! See, like just the amount of help. There was never any bitterness in him, even before the cup final. You know, the Hearts fans have circulated again, he'd done a cup final video on that. That's how he was, you know, he could have been gutted that he wasn't in that 14-man squad. He filmed it all, he was there to help, he was just a really, really nice guy.
So see, if you were like making mistakes and stuff like that, would he help come you. In? Would
aye, he wouldn't be one of these older players that would think, that's brilliant, Gaz had a shocker, I'll be in the team next week. He would come in the training pit and say, right, what did you do wrong? He'd say to him, because the first thing he wanted to know is, he wanted to know, did you know what you had done wrong? Yeah. And then when you say to him, he said, well, this is what I would do, I'd have done that, or I'd maybe tried that, or... So he was good like that, really, really good.
Some great older pros, as you mentioned.
I even remember even like Craig Levein, you know, a stupid thing. He was helping out with the reserves at the time, playing it as a fullback. He says, see, sometimes you're not going to be able to just clip the ball to your striker with your left foot. He says, or the striker maybe be coming to shut you down at an angle, or coming for that side, you maybe need to check onto your right foot. I remember him just getting me cutting inside on my left foot and just chipping.
Sorry, cutting inside your right foot and chipping.
So coming in on my left, so the striker's cut the pass down the line, cutting in on my right, and rather than just trying to blast it with your bad foot, just chipping it like over an imaginary midfielder, so that if you did go into your bad foot, you felt comfortable in a game. Just wee things like that. Yeah. It wasn't a great training practice or that, but it was something that, as I got onto my career, I actually felt all right. I scored a few goals.
You used to do it all the time, didn't you?
I didn't mind cutting in onto my right foot.
Brilliant. Just a wee little just, nuggets and advice.
But they didn't need to do that, you know. So. Mm-hmm. Things like that, they were really, really good.
How do you look back onto the Scottish Cup final? Remember going into the game, how you were feeling?
Aye, somebody spoke to me about that today. See, they sort of build up, and that's vague for me. I know we went away the start of the week. I know Jim Jeffries named his team. He's starting 11 very early in the week, so I knew I was playing.
Did you like that,
great.
That you knew you were playing?
Aye, I thought I was going to be playing, but just to know that you're playing was great. He never named the subs, and I was rooming with Grant Murray, and I always felt a wee bit sorry for Grant, because he had been in and around the team most of the season. I think he had missed the last two or three league games and there was only three subs at that time, and you knew that Robbo was going to be one of the subs. Once the team had been named, you knew Robbo was taking, so there was only two places left for the bench. So I was always, Grant was like my best mate, you know, at the club, and he actually ended up being godfather to one of my children, and I was just desperate for him. So I actually got as much joy when he got named as one of the subs as I had for when I was playing.
Right.
So the build up in that was a bit, I can't really remember too much about the game. I remember we started really well. I was one of the only few players that had touched the ball when we got the penalty. I didn't realise how much Rangers had us pinned back till I watched it maybe about a year ago. The last 30 minutes, it was like the Alamo, waves and waves of attack. I thought it was a stonewall penalty when Big Davey brought, I think it was Ali McCoy stood just outside the box. I thought it was a penalty, and I have to be honest, if that was a penalty, I'm honest enough to say we'd have got beat, because we were gone. We were holding on. It was 2-1. Rangers were pushing everything forward. If that game had went extra time, we wouldn't have won the cup.
How does Jim Jeffries celebrate after a game like that?
He was actually quite calm. You know, he was actually really, really calm.
What about before it? Was it a special team talk, or was it just do your job?
I can't remember. I can remember the semi final. I was scared, eh? Because I think Lockie had said when he pinned me to the wall. When he came in, Kevin McAllister was on fire. Like, people say to me, who's the best player that you've played against? Kevin McAllister wasn't the best player that I played against, but he gave me one of the top three doons that I got in my whole career.
What, just tricky?
I just couldn't get near him. Like, he had that low sensory gravity, he was on fire that game. you know, you're a young boy, you've not really got any experience to fall back on. How do you deal with him? He'd, see, like, in that, if that had happened 3 or 4 years later, then I gave him, I'd have hit him one and seen if he'd come back, you know what I mean? But do I go tight? Do I drop off? Do I, oh, Jesus, I didn't know what to do here. Yeah. So we got in at half time. I always remember it comes straight for me.
Just hit
he had that big brow, you know, he's still got it now, even when I see him. Just come and pin me like, if we get fucking beat today, he says, it'll be your fault. Get fucking closer to him. Like, man, he literally had me pinned. The feet were like this. I'm beating, honestly, Lockie wasn't exaggerating. The feet were like this. I was thinking, my God. So you go, I didn't even want to play. Like, I didn't even want the ball to come to us. I was like, oh, my God. So anyway, he's not touched the ball. I'm thinking, brilliant, 7, 8 minutes to go, we're 1-0 up. Come on. Anyway, did he no go drift in? Away from me, really, but he picked the ball up and pass one, pass two, pass three, and he fucking scored. And all I could think about was, oh, no, I'm going to have to go on and face him at the end of the game. Anyway, the players bailed me out. We got a couple of goals and we were in the final. And it's no word of lie, folk think I said this. I went home. I was with Gillian at the time, who's my wife. Like, I'm not sure we've been together that long, but I was with Gillian, but I think I was still staying with my mum and dad. And my mum says, what's wrong? You should be over the moon. I said, mum, I didn't want to be a football player anymore. Scottish Cup final, I didn't even want to be a football player. He actually traumatised me that much in that half-time talk that I was actually in the final. Says, I'm not playing. And that's me, I'm finished. But I quickly got over it, you know what I mean? But
would he pull you after it and say, didn't I worry about it? Or was it just never spoken about again?
No, I never spoke about it. Yeah. Because that's how he was, eh? That was just him. It meant he was a Hearts fan. He wanted to win that much. I remember one time, it's Easter Road, we were 4-0 up, and we were just keeping the ball. And 4-0 up, keeping the ball. If a chance came, it came, but we weren't really trying to go 5, 6, 7. Anyway, we come off, he was absolutely raging. And it wasn't until we found out, he was in the team that got beat 7-0 with Hibs. And he thought that was a chance for us to get 7 back. Right. We didn't know, you know, he's just passing the ball, just keeping it.
So he went off his nut when you went 4-0?
1-4-0, went off his nut.
See, the Falkirk game, is that the maddest you've seen him go?
At me?
At you?
Oh, I've seen him blow up.
At who? Can you remember one in particular?
I've seen him drag Stevie Fulton out the shower.
Naked, eh?
Aye, naked.
Why?
I've seen some crackers, honestly. I've seen Archie get sent to the shower for water.
Archie not. Would anyone have a go back at Jim Jeffries now?
No, really. No, really.
Is he scary at her?
Aye, but you know what? He's actually a nice man. Mm-hmm. They had a great balance. Like, they could scare you. They could put an arm round about you. But the biggest thing they had was you wanted to play for them. I would still now run through a brick wall for them. Like, I seen him doing it at Edinburgh City. I went to watch a few of their games.
You were at your game, I seen you against
them. I was just looking for players, because I always
think wouldn't find any players us, mate.
I think there is players in the lower league, you know, so I hadn't seen much of them, so I wanted to go and watch it, and I seen him in that, and even now, still Gaffer, and when he comes in, you know, I was sitting down, and as he comes in, I'm standing up, Gaffer, how you get, he's still sort of got that authority over me, if you know what I mean.
Brilliant. How was the celebrations after? Gary Locke spoke about it, bus through Edinburgh and all
that. Again, health and safety, you wouldn't get away with that. We're on a single decker, we took the roof latches off, and driving into Gorgie, the whole team was actually standing on a single decker. Like, and the bus just stopped you over. Well, you'd have fell onto the fans because there was that many, but that's what I remember. The Sunday was brilliant, the going through the streets of Edinburgh, 250,000 people, but it was actually the Saturday because we didn't know what to expect. We're getting into Sight Hall, there's a few fans past the fire station, there's a few more fans. Then it started to get busier and busier, and we start to get to Gorgie Road, and like the bus, it literally couldn't move. The amount of people, and that was... See, the Sunday, you knew there was going to be like a parade. We weren't prepared for that on the Saturday night. I think we thought there'd be some people back at the stadium, but we didn't realise how many people were going to be there.
Would that have been one of the best moments of your career?
Aye, definitely. Like, we had similar with Huddersfield when we got promoted via the playoffs, but I was injured and I didn't play, so it didn't mean as much to me. Because I'd played in that, but you know what, I probably took it for granted because I was so young. 18 months I'd been playing football. I thought we would just win a cup every year. I thought, oh, this is easy, we'll win one next year, and the next year, and the next year. And I never. Mm-hmm. You know, so I didn't really take in a lot of what was actually happening.
Was your family buzzing as well? Obviously, they were Hearts fans.
Aye, they were buzzing. I went to... actually went up to see them on the next day. And they were having a garden party. Like, all the neighbours and that were round. And my dad had, like, although he's a Rangers fan, had a Hearts strip on and stuff like that. Like, he's one of them, my dad. He's no longer with us. We lost... He had lost him 2-3 years ago to motor neuron disease. But... in the cup final, where they lost 4-3 to Rangers, I was in the squad, but I wasn't stripped. So I gave my dad the hospitality ticket. So obviously, Disney know that I'm not on the bench. So he's there shirting. He's got the Hearts tie on. So then he finds out that that I'm not stripped, takes the tie off, unbuttons the shirt. He's got his Rangers strip.
brilliant.
So he's like, fuck it, I want Rangers to win the day.
Did you give him your medal up when you won the Scottish Cup?
My mum and dad, they weren't really one, they were just like, keep that. The only thing that I've ever done, with my, I lost my mum as well. I gave my mum my first Scotland cap, and that actually got, she got buried with it. So that's the, okay. She went into her coffin, really. So that, she wanted that, she wanted to be buried with that. So, but no, they weren't really one, they were just proud of me being their son, that I'd actually played for Scotland and eventually got down to England and played at such a big club and things like that.
Brilliant, mate. Amazing. Who else was a good laugh in the dressing room? Obviously, Lockie, Stevie Fulton,
Gary Lockie. Stevie Fulton. We had a good team spirit. And Lockie was a big, big part of that. Davey Weir, quite a dry sense of humour. We, Colin Cameron, Neil McCann.
Good players,
aye, we had a really... I often have this argument, and it's one for the Hearts fans. I don't think there's many players for the Hearts Cup final teams after 98 that would have got into the 98 team. Like, we had a really, you know, that year, not just the league, not just the cup, we ran Rangers and Celtic to about 6 or 7 points. Like, you're talking about Rangers, Loudrop, Gascoigne, Durant, McCoist, we've mentioned the players at Celtic. Yeah. We ran them to about the last 3 or 4 games of the season, you know, right. What I mean? Like, we were there neck and neck going for the league that year as well, so we had a really, really good team. Jim deserves a lot of credit. He went and bought, like, the better Scottish players with a wee bit of money. He went and bought, like, Neil McCann, Colin Cameron. He went and sort of took, if you want, the best players for all the other Scottish clubs and put them together with us.
Mm-hmm. You pick know, one. If you had to pick one, who was the top player in that team?
The best player for me was Stevie Fulton. Because no matter how bad a game he was having, he would come and take the ball for me and just say, just keep running, it'll come back into your path. And that was generally my game. I could get the ball, feed it into people, run, get it back, and then deliver a decent cross more times than no. So he was, but the best player by, he had the best, was Big Davey Weir. So underrated, it was ridiculous.
Now, what was he, just so calm?
Just so calm, I didn't really notice.
Did he help you playing centre half next to
you? Well, I had Paul Ritchie, he didn't help me. The amount of times he put me in the shit saying, here, guys, you take it. You take it, guys. And then I couldn't go back the way, because Jim Jeffrey says, if you go back the way, you're coming off. So I had to just kick it long.
But Davey Weir had top class.
I knew he was a good player at Hearts, but I didn't realise until I went to Everton, you know, he'd done it week in, week out. He wasn't blessed with the greatest pace, Davey Weir, but no often would you see him getting exposed. You know, he was a top, top player.
Right, for being young and making these strides, did you feel like there was a lot of attention on you then? Did you start to hear rumours about clubs looking at you,
I was always with the same agent up until I actually went to England. I was with Jim McArthur for a very young age, so, you know, quite a loyal person. We did have a wee fun out further down the line.
Always happens.
I was, Jim done my move down to Everton and stuff like that. He was my agent at Hearts, so... And there was always rumours about clubs. I didn't find out until when I was with Scotland with Tommy Burns. Tommy Burns actually made an inquiry to take me to Celtic while I was still at Hearts. But obviously Jim and Billy said, no chances, no for sale. But I never ever knew that until years later. And then the circulating the clubs here and there. And what actually happened was I was still with Hearts. We were away with Scotland at the time. And we were away for a 10-day. We were away in San Marino and then we were away to Croatia on the Tuesday night. So I think on the Tuesday or Wednesday before the San Marino game on the Saturday, Jim says, the deal's done. You've got to Coventry, they've bid 1.5 million, Gordon Strachan, we're going down to meet them the next Thursday that you get home. So there was about a week for the deal being done to about a week till I was going down to speak to Gordon Strachan. So played against San Marino, we won 2-0, we didn't score till late on. no surprising, because I'm sure we played 4-3-3 that night. I was left wing and Matt Elliott was centre forward. We were two defenders. So we got two late goals anyway. We won. Had a night out in San Marino, which we probably shouldn't have done. Playing Croatia on the Tuesday night. Top team. Jarni, Prozanetski, Boksic, Suka.
Prozanetski, what a player.
Stimac at the back. Like a top team. Wee Bruni, it was like slagging on. I'm trying to take them down to build us up, you know.
Who's that, Craig Brown?
Jarni can't run, Prozanetski's funny, Suka, he gave him 10 chances, he'll no score, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, we played one of your best games for Scotland. We were brilliant as a team that night, and we got a 1-1 draw away. And I didn't know at the time, Archie Knox, who was assistant manager of Scotland, and obviously was assistant manager of Everton, and he had said to Big Davy, which I only found out in the days later, what's happening with Naismith? He says, oh, his deal's done, he Coventry's gone. And that's all I'd asked. So we never got back into Glasgow Airport till about 3 o'clock or something, 2 or 3 o'clock on the Wednesday morning. Actually, I was gone down on the Friday. The Thursday. And Jim phoned me about 9:30 on the Wednesday morning. He says, the deal's off. I says, what do you mean it's off? I says, we've had this agreed for a year. For a week. I says, I've not spoke to anybody. I says, how can it be off? He says, oh, Everton's bid £250,000 more. You've not got permission to go to Coventry. You've got to go down and speak to Everton now. We're going down on Friday. So I was like, fucking Everton. So I'm on the phone to Big Davy, and Davy says, aye, Archie asked me. He says, but I never thought anything yet. So what had happened was Archie's obviously got on the phone to Walter, who obviously Walter would have known who I was for the cup final and playing in Scotland. And he's obviously said, look, Walter, I think we need to try and sign this lad.
Did you ever speak to Gordon Strachan?
I never got to speak to him, and I've never spoke to him about it. Because it wasn't my choice, it wasn't. Hearts just said, well, unless Coventry can come up with extra money, you can't go and speak to them.
See, when you were at Hearts, was it always your aim to get down to England, or were you looking at a Celtic and Rangers?
No. I'll tell you this as it goes on, and I made this public. Hearts at that time were giving people good contracts. I can't remember who it was they got the investment fee, but I knew that people like... wee Mickey, Colin Cameron and Stephen Adam and Thomas Flogel and people like that, they were all getting
weighed in.
Decent money for Hearts, right? You know, and I didn't want the same money as them, because I was still a young player and I knew I wouldn't get it, but I just wanted more than I was on. So when I went in to do a deal with Hearts, the board at Hearts at the time said, listen, it's all changing now, the money's sort of dried up. You're the first one that's going to have to go. And to be fair, we did sell more players after that. Like, Colin Cameron went down to Wolves, I think, and Neil McCann eventually went and stuff like that. So they were true to their word. So I said, well, that's fine. I says, but I made it clear to the fans. I didn't want the fans thinking that I had been greedy or that I couldn't agree terms or anything like that. So I just made it clear that I had wanted to stay at Hearts, because I generally thought, I was still only 20, I thought another year or two will not do me any harm. But I just made it clear to them that the club had decided to cash in on me. They didn't want me staying and going for nothing. So it was Hearts that decided to sell me rather than me trying to force a move.
How was Walter Smith when you first met him?
Brilliant, just such a nice name, nice man.
He's got that presence as well, eh?
Presence. Jim said to him, he said to Jim, I didn't know this until later on, Jim, what are you going to ask for? Jim says, we're thinking of asking for that, and that is a signing on, and that is an add-on, that is an add-on, that is an add-on. But I was like, forget about all that, just ask him to ask for that. And Jim's like, he'll never get that. He says, just ask him to ask for that. Jim went in and done it. Deal was done in about 2 minutes. Chief exec says, what are you wanting? He's listening to what Walter says. He says he'll sign, he's wanting that. And he says, right, no problem, there you are, 4-year deal.
What a man, yeah.
So that was cousin Walter.
So the 8-bedroom house is down to Walter. Did he tell you you were going to play straight away, or was it not like that? Was it come down here and prove yourself, or was it...
No, what had actually happened was the first day, so I've done all this stuff, the medical and that, and I've got back to the training ground, Belfield, the old training ground at that time, and I've in their office, and Walter says, we'll start you on the bench tomorrow, because it was a Friday I think it got done, we were away to Newcastle.
Right.
He says, we'll start on the bench tomorrow, I says, right, no problem, gaffer. And Archie, you know, Archie, just being Archie. Well, Naismith, he says, I'm not putting any pressure on you, But the only other person I told him to sign was Loudrup. And I'm thinking, I don't know, because I didn't know how to take him. I don't know how to see him. And you know, he said it with such a straight face. So anyway, we up to St James's Park. You know, you've got to imagine this. I'm coming out of the Hearts changing room. I've gone into Everton. You've got people like Duncan Ferguson, Kevin Campbell, Paul Gascoigne, wow. Mark Hughes.
Mark Hughes,
aye, Mark Hughes. You know what I mean? Like, we're coming down for Hearts 20. Never lifted a weight or anything in my life. Like, just skinny as my arm, you know. So anyway, we're on there, and at the start of the game, this and that, and I'm just taking it on. You know, goes out and looks at the picture. Like, the away fans are about half a mile away. Honestly, yeah. Like miles away. So anyway, just 60 minutes, you're on. I was thinking, oh fuck, shitting myself. Like, you know,
what you shitting
mean?
Yourself?
Oh, aye. So I think I went on as wing back or left midfield. I didn't go on as a left back anyway. Anyway, ball comes to me, in, gives it back, I'm up the wing, crosses it in. I think Kevin Campbell scored, so it was an assist. So we beat Newcastle 1-0. We're in the changing room in the game. Gazza's gone bananas. He's dancing about because we beat Newcastle. Now it's like just so surreal. And then Walter's like, right, we're off to Tuesday. And I'm back up the road to Scotland thinking, this is easy. New 4-year contract set up, the winner. Gazza's dancing about as a teammate, brilliant.
And see when you have a start like that, do the boys just take to you straight away as well?
It actually helped because Big Davey was there, Richard Goff was there. I didn't know him, but he knew me, so he looks after you playing in Scotland. Scotty Gemmell, I knew for the Scotland. Big Duncan. So there was a good contingent. Alex Cleland
was there.
So
right?
we had five or six Scottish lads there, if you know. So That was really, really good. So we had quite an eventful, my start, I always remember my start at Everton, done that, and then we beat Chelsea at home, then we went away to Liverpool.
Were you starting these games now, sorry? Did you start at Chelsea?
Aye,
right.
Chelsea, started that, beat them, then we went away to Liverpool, I think this is the right order, and I was back the park with Tommy Gravison.
We'll get to them.
And the ball broke, and I slipped, and Tommy had to chase back, and we brought him down, and he either got a penalty or he got sent off, and we got beat 3-1.
Right.
Then we beat Arsenal, and then we were down the bottom way against Bradford, and in the 89th minute, I scored, and we beat Bradford 1-0 at Bradford. So that was like my first five games, so that was when I felt right, I'm involved now. Uh-huh. You know, I played against Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, and then I've scored one, and I've set one up. So it took me four or five games because it's hard to discuss. I'm annoyed these people. Mm. You know, I'm annoyed. Like, I've just mentioned the people. It's like, wow.
Because you said you had a top team at Hearts, but how better was the standard that ever were the top players?
Just ridiculous.
Training
and like, even like Gazza and that, he was at the end of his career.
Was he brilliant?
Aye. Like, there was one game we played against, it was Bolton or Blackburn, and that was him towards the end of his career. And I came off the pitch thinking, wow, if that's him at the end of his career, I'd have loved to have played with him like at his peak. Like, he was just awesome. But even people that know as well known, like, we're good professionals. Like, we're Dave Watson, who Dave Watson and Goffey were 38 and 37 or something at the time,
Dave,
you know.
Watson, uh-huh.
Like, we had other good young players like Michael Ball.
Left back.
Franny Jeffers.
Right.
Danny Cadamatry. So we had like a really, so there was some youngsters that I could sort of mix in with. Uh-huh. And we had some really good foreign players as well.
You ever on the end of a Gazza prank? You see him do anything funny?
Did I see him do anything? The best story I could tell you about Gazza was my mum and my auntie. I was in a hotel. Gillian was up the road. For the first two or three months, I was in a hotel. And my mum and my auntie came down to stay with me. So it was a Thursday afternoon or something. And I said, I'm going to go for a swim and a sauna and that. Mum, you get yourself to the bar. And I'll come and see you in about an hour or something, right? Get yourselves a couple of drinks and put it on the room bill. So as I come out, my mum's, there's now about 10 empties round about the table, and Gazza's now sitting with them, and I'm thinking, oh, no. So anyway, cut a long story short, what had happened was Gazza was, the club had refused him any more sleeping tablets, and he cut a long story short, he must have got onto my mum and been saying to her, I'm struggling with blah, blah, blah. And she says, oh, I've got some in the room. And he says, well, you go and get me some of your tablets and I'll buy you a few drinks. So he got his sleeping tablets, my mum got sozzled.
Oh, brilliant. And just last bit on Walter Smith. Who could go more mental, Walter Smith or Jim Jefferies?
I'll never see Motor maybe lose it once or twice, but it was as effective as Jim. Jim Jeffries was more frequent. Mm-hmm. That could come out every day for a week, or it could maybe not come out for 2 or 3 weeks. Whereas Walter was very, I've only ever seen it once or twice.
Because Everton were struggling at the time, weren't they?
Aye, we were. And I think a lot of the, even though they were on great, great money at Everton, I think a lot of the players struggled with Archie's honesty. Because I'd been brought up, and the Scottish boys had been brought up with, just telling it how it is.
Youth team managers being the exact same.
Just the same. I found a lot of the English lads or the foreign lads, they weren't used to just people being so blunt, just saying, you were shite. You know, like that, that was effing no good enough and stuff like that. I don't think they were brought up how we were brought up. Mm-hmm. So, but I liked it like that, I liked that.
So were you sad to see Walter go?
Gutted. I actually remember going up to say to him, thanks for bringing me to the club, and him and Archie, and... you do get emotional, you know what I mean? I was quite sad, actually, because they were really, really nice people. And Gillian and my wife had got to know their wives and stuff like that at the time. So, it was because he was a nice man, you know. The best thing I ever took for Walter was how good a person he was to all the other staff. It didn't matter how we were struggling as a team. It didn't matter if we won or lost or were 7 games on the bounce without getting a victory. He never ever forgot the staff. He could go into the reception lady, he would remember the husband's name. He'd say, did you have a nice silver wedding anniversary? How was your weekend? It didn't matter any troubles that he was going through. It never affected his relationship with everybody else. And especially when I got into management, at both of the clubs that I've been at, that's the something that I've always tried to get the, what people class as the less important, but they're actually the most important. To them to buy into what you're trying to do as the manager.
Makes a difference then. What was the time that you had to send Archie to the shower? Can you remember it?
It was we were doing it at Watford. It was a boy, Stephen Hughes, not the one that was at Rangers.
It played for Arsenal, didn't he? Stephen Hughes, a midfielder.
And he was having a go at him about something, and I think Stephen Hughes had tried to, and we were doing it at Watford, and it was a tight changing room. So the metal hampers at that time were sort of stacked up in the middle. Archie jumped him, he went for him. And he had to get pinned back and run him back. And I always remember, because it was what Walter called him by name, Archibald!
Archibald!
Get in that shower! Not to go in the shower, but just to go into that area to calm down.
Oh,
I always remember Archie. Archibald. It was just Archie's response, and he just turned the corner. Well, no fucking wonder.
Oh, I can imagine, amazing. Right, David Moyes coming. Did the boys take him straight away?
He was very, very thorough, the gaffer. I was injured. I had a terrible time at Everton with injuries. I must have lost about... my 7.5 years there, I must have lost about 2.5 years with serious injuries. Like, I mean, 3-month injuries, you know, at a time. Not just... So I was injured when he came in, which didn't help when a new manager comes in. Very, very methodical. Wanted to do at that time everything himself. Even to the point, like, on the match day warm-ups, the gaffer took the warm-up himself.
No way.
The manager of Everton took the warm-up. On the pitch.
That's unheard, isn't it?
But he was like that, you know. If you speak to him, he would say that he was. I think he needed to know in his mind that everything had been ticked to how he wanted it done. Now, obviously, now as he's gone on, and he lets other people do stuff and that. And I can sort of understand it because when I went into his five, I wanted to do everything myself, you know. But he was at a much higher level. But he was very, very thorough. His training was really, really detailed, but good. So you would maybe do crossing and finishing on a Tuesday, a certain practice here, crossing and finishing. Maybe it would start with the left back, into the midfield back, out. But it would all be related to how we were going to play on a Saturday. So when we started in the shape on the Thursday and Friday, you would actually think, that's why we've done that on the Tuesday. Everything was planned to how we were going to play on the Saturday.
Brilliant, that,
yeah. So
did the players like that?
I did like it. He was a lot more compared to like Archie and Walter. He was a lot more like studied set plays a lot more. We spent a lot more time on the routines he set plays. He done more video analysis, which everybody done. You know, I think Archie and Walter were. I don't think it's right to say. I don't think it was in thing at that time to watch a lot of video stuff of your opposition. When you know what I mean. Uh-huh. Whereas he had came in new ideas, young manager. That was some of the stuff they implemented. And we just gradually, he just gradually built the club up bit by bit. He would bring in better physios, better dieticians, blah, blah, blah. And we eventually just built ourselves into a really, really good club.
Was he a really good team.
I shouldn't say a really, really good club, because Everton's a fantastic club. We built ourselves back into being a really, really good team.
Would you say he was a top manager?
Aye. And I didn't realise how good he was until I actually left. It's one of these where you're at a club, you get caught up in things. And you didn't actually realise the club that you're at, how big they are. Never realised how big Everton were. You just go in there for Hearts, you're in, you're caught in the bubble, you come out there and think, whew, what a big club that was, I was in.
Because it's called the People's Club as well, isn't it?
Well, that was him that said that. That was a very, very clever thing he said. When he came in, he says, it's the People's Club, and straight away the fans are in, there's banners about the People's Club and everything like that. So that, he was a very clever man. But he's very, very good manager, very good manager.
Right, your favourite person on open goal, hands down, is Tommy Gravesen. Talk us through.
Oh, he was some man, the Great Dane. The Great Dane with a Scouse accent. Just everything you've heard right about him, honestly, like, he's about the cars and that. A £250,000 car down to a £6,000 car because it was winter.
You know, that's true.
Like, he was one of the strongest people I've ever met without actually lifting a weight.
Just pin you down.
Like, see when he was injured and they were trying to get him in. No.
Oh, were you quite tight on that?
I got on well with him. Honestly, I did get on all right with Tommy. We'd sit and play cards on the bus going to games and stuff like that. And his girlfriend at the time, Geeta, he's no longer with Geeta now, but my wife's still friendly with her. And Nicholas Alexanderson's, and they still meet, like Juggernaut will still go over to Denmark or to Sweden to meet them and that. The team spirit at Everton in terms of the wives and that was as good as I've ever known it. Like, there'd be about 10 or 12 of us, an unwritten rule at Everton, if you had a party, whether it was a christening or a 30th or your wife's birthday or you were going out for a meal, you fucked the bill for that 12. And then when every time they had one, it was a free bar and a free meal and everything for you and start.
Who brought that in?
It was just like, maybe if we went to Big Davies for his, like, a 30th, like, I'm getting that. So then if I was having, like, a 25th, right, I'm getting that. Or if it was somebody's christening, well, it's a free. So, you know, it works itself round the boot. You know, if you spent £100 each time, it didn't.
You got it back.
It's just, but the team spirit of that, honestly, we would be out regularly. The wives would go out themselves. The players would go out themselves. It was, and as I said, Tommy was part of that, you know, and everybody loved him, but he was just such a stubborn man. You know, if we were practising set plays, me and him were generally on the set plays, and the gaffer would say, right, last one. See, if he didn't have a good one, he wouldn't like that. He'd make us stay out. Like, he would be saying to the gaffer, we're staying out here, gaffer, I get this right.
Oh, I can imagine. No, lad.
And then if we had to do a bit of running in that, like 6 400s, no, I only need four. Four.
But he wouldn't care,
no, but he was such a. He got away with it. You know what? Because he was that good.
Was he that good, eh?
I've never seen anybody like it in possession. Seeing boxes, he never gave the ball away. I know he didn't win games in boxes, but and the shots up. And I'll tell you, me, Tommy. It used to be me and Scotty Gemmell against Tommy Gravesen and Joe Max Moore.
Head tennis. How good is he?
Oh, he's incredible. But at the court at Everton, it was sort of like built into like a little right angle, so you could get caught in the corner. And the net, like Tommy, I always remember Tommy Servi, he'd bounce it up, so the ball was coming up, he'd jump up and volley it down the way, like the serve would come in, like it was in, and then Joe would be doing overhead kicks like American, god damn it! You know, like, could we be playing for like 20 quid a head? And, like, to be fair, they generally got the better of me and Scotty, but it'd be like me and so we spent a lot of time after training on that, and Tommy, just like, I always remember silly things, you know, like in America when it goes to the line and they have to go and check the camera. Yeah. Tommy would walk to the line, kid only was putting his head under it, so he'd be like that, and he'd come back. You know, like things like that. Like he was like ahead of the time. So
brilliant.
Had a lot of good time. Man.
See, on the you mentioned the cards because he's ended up making a fortune out of poker. You know that? Was he good at cards?
Yeah, and he took it serious as well. He always tried to read what you had in that and stuff like that. Did you know what I mean? But no, he was. He honestly, he was a good. I was really You know, I don't know if anybody tell you this, you know he turned up to sign for Real Madrid in his Everton club suit. He never had another suit. He never had a suit, that it was a plain navy suit. That is his Everton club suit.
Signed so what, you just seen it on the telly?
We watched it on the telly because he was getting linked to all these clubs and we were liking shoot. Like we knew he was good, we were like, it can't he be right. Uh-huh. And they says he's away to sign for Madrid, and then like that afternoon, the next day he's in the navy suit.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Another one, Duncan Ferguson. Faddy says it takes him a while to let you in, but top man.
Aye, really, really, very, very quiet guy. Wasn't until I really got to know him. I asked him that. I says, Dunk, like, say for the first 2 or 3 weeks, I'll just get a morning or something off of you. He says, guys, he says, I'll tell you what it is. He says, I like to suss people out, and I like to know if I want to be with them or if I want to be their pals or if I didn't. And if I think, they'll just get a morning or that, he says, so I just suss everybody out. Never had a mobile phone.
Nah?
No, never had a mobile phone. Didn't he really get, so you just send that text and that just gets to that. he didn't want bothered once he went home.
That was it.
But I tell you, he came in immaculate, because at Rangers it was shirt and tie every day, he came in immaculately dressed every day. Because even when I went to Everton at the start, he still had to go in trousers. Walter Natchez had brought that in. I don't think it was shirt and tie, but it was trousers, shoes, shirt or a jumper or that.
I
never had anything like that. I had to go and buy stuff. Like, because I was used to going in with the free Fila gear at the Hearts. I was sponsored with Fila, me and Paul Ritchie.
Right.
So I had to go and buy the stuff, and then that's what, immaculate, trained well every day, never realised how good a touch and how good a technical player he was until I actually started training with him. And we would, you seen that in the boxes, our learning boxes. On a Friday, we would normally have 3 boxes A7 or 3 boxes A8, and you would always start in the same 7 or 8. So we had like our own box, me, Faddy, Big Dunk, Davy Weir, Scotty Gemmell. See when somebody, I always remember like, so Moises, somebody had got sold, I can't remember who it was. So the 7 of us were in the box. So the other 2 boxes are starting, and they're about a minute into it, and Davy Moyes would join in one box, and somebody else's staff there, and somebody else the other. So Moyes' box is about a minute on, and he's shouting over, "Aye, what's going on over there? I've told you to start a minute ago." Big Dunk, you shouted back, "We're having a minute silence, gaffer. One of your boxes is left." So we didn't do anything for a minute. We just stood. Because one of like our original boxes had left. But I'll tell you, he would wrap it in. You know like how you hear the Man United player saying that Roy Keane would test you to see if you've got a touch of that? Dunk done the same.
And see if you weren't up to it, would he let you know?
Aye. And only once I've ever shouted at him. Someone, I played a ball to him on the training pitch. And I shouted, "Is there any chance of you moving or something like that?" And he started coming down the pitch. And as he's coming down, I'm going back the way. And we've eventually got to about, I've said, "Dunk, I apologise. Don't you speak to me like that again." You know, it was like,
wow. Is he the main man there at Everton?
Ah, yes. A lot of stories come up about his off the field stuff and his aggression and stuff like that.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Aye, but honestly, see what he'd done in the community and that, unbelievable. See, the most generous person, see the young boys at Christmas and that, he'd go around, not just the person that looked after him, he'd give them all money. If they were going on a Christmas night out, he'd give them money for the group. See if we were going on an end of season trip, and any youngster that would go, he'd pay for the whole youngster's trip. But a really, really top player. I don't know if this is true or not, but the rumour goes that when Newcastle were looking for a striker to play with Alan Shearer, the manager asked Alan Shearer his opinion, and they said, "I'd go and get Duncan Ferguson."
And if that's true, as well, wouldn't
it? If that's true, that's the biggest compliment you can get.
How was he at the gym?
Ridiculous.
Was he?
Ridiculous strength. But see when he took his top off, like ripped, but no like bulging ripped. You know, like just really strong, like, you know, I never, on the bench press, you try and get in the 100 club. Mm. I could never get any, I'd get up to about 85 or something. The big man would just, they set, say, 10, 100. He wouldn't even boot your breath or... You know the one where you sit on it and you push it? He'd push the full stack with one hand. Like, no word of a lie, like ridiculous strength.
I've seen him punching the bag on YouTube and that.
Well, he would take you in the gym, throw you the gloves, he'd put the pad on, say, "I'm not going to hit you." He'd have his gloves on, he'd say, "You just try and hit me." No, because he liked his boxing, you know, kept him fit, he liked the hanging, and just seeing his reaction to
stuff.
Did he ever
pin you back for
no.
it? Never.
Oh, you'd be down. You'd be down if... I seen him once pin the fitness coach. There was only me and him and someone had happened in the fitness, and he was a French fitness coach. He was trying to tell Duncan something. We were up in the old canteen, and the boy come over and he was like, I can't even remember the lad's name, which is terrible. I can't remember his name, it might come back to me. He says, look, I didn't want to talk about it. And he says, but Duncan, I'm just trying to help you. He said, I'm not what to talk about it. So I was sitting, I had just got my, it wasn't great food at the time, beans on toast or something. So I'm just sitting, and they used to call me Henry. Henry, he says, get him told. He says, I didn't want to speak to him about it. So he then started speaking to me, right? So Duncan got his thingies and he sat down next to me. And the boys came across to try and speak to him again. So he's gave him about four or five warnings. And he says to him, he put the phone, he says, I'm telling you, I don't want to speak about it anyway. Did the boy no try and go speak again? He just pinned his head to the table, and the boy was a grown man.
Stop talking.
The boy was like this, the eyes were popping out the head. I told you I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, tremendous. Amazing. Right, another player I need to ask you about as well. Some top players you've played with by Wayne Rooney. You remember the first time he trained you?
Yeah, he was, he just like what people have said, he just came in, we heard about obviously this 14-15.
Had you seen him play in the youth team in there?
I'd went to watch one game and he was unbelievable. It was like a Saturday morning game, playing at the old training ground, Belfield, and we must have met for some reason, maybe went for a pre-match or something, but I seen a bit of it. And I think Walton Archer had tried to get him for a first team game, but he was too young. I think he had to be 16 or something, he was too young. So we heard all about it. But it wasn't it just like, he just came in and then sort of grew into it. He came in and for the first day, he was the best player. Like at 16. Just used to shell balls, didn't they warm up? Just, he'd be blasting balls as hard as he could. But because I think he had the, I think some of his family were boxers, he already had like a unique upper body strength. Like he wasn't, he still had like a lot of puppy fat, but he had a lot of strength that as a 16-year-old, enabled him to play against grown men.
So would he get up against you in
training? Aye, he was a strong, strong boy, aye. And he still done his boxing, he'd be thinging away with Dunk. Big Dunk was sort of, and Alan Stubbs to a lesser extent was sort of like his mentor. They would look after him, keep him right and wrong. I think the gaffer done a really good job, Davy Moyes, with him, keeping him out of the public eye as well. Although he'd only get to do certain interviews and stuff like that. I think in the main he got handled really, really, really well.
What kind of boy is he? Is he quite quiet?
Well, I seen him at something and he had all his security in that round about him. And he seen me. Like, we're no people that keep in touch, like we, but he seen me, and he sort of got, he said to Dinny Bourne, and he sat for half an hour with a couple of beers and that. He's the sort of boy that would come up to, like I was saying to you, like the minors, and that would be his perfect day. Mm-hmm. Just sitting in the pub, watching football, playing pool, snooker, having a few pints. Mm-hmm. Aye, he's just such a down-to-earth boy.
Top man. Aye. Is he the best you've played though?
Aye, I think he was the best, he is the best. And also because the other ones that could probably compare him, Gaza, I got him at the end. Because I seen Rooney like emerging. But no, you're saying, I've seen that. Some, when you actually say this, I've played with some top players.
Your 11 that you've played with could be unbelievable, eh?
Well, even just that, and I'm, you know.
Who else at Everton stands out?
Arteta was different class.
What a player.
Arteta was different class.
Pina?
I never played with Pina. I got the tail end of Ginola.
Did you?
Aye.
Is that when?
He played in front of me. I have to be honest, he
didn't really help. Put, for you,
didn't really help out defensively.
But fighting on the ball.
Aye, brilliant. Aye, really, really. He was the one that he actually taught me how to, or gave me a, really some good advice about in the gym and stuff. You know, like. Just silly things that stick to your mind. You know when you're doing dumbbells and you're trying to lift 20s and you're rocking and everything, you're not actually working. Like he says, just get the weights doing a bit and keep them in close and just actually work the muscles. And so, we stupid, like I've said that and the thing about Craig Levein, it's ridiculous how the wee silly things stay in your mind. But no, he was a top, top professional. But
good guy as well.
Aye. And as I say, well, even just the strikers, that, and I'm doing a disservice, you know, Kevin Campbell, Mark Hughes, Wayne Rooney, Big Dunk. Ridiculous strikers at
Everton, brilliant. Merseyside derbies, how do they compare to an Edinburgh derby? Is it as fierce down there as it is up here?
It's as fierce, but I'll be honest, the Hibs and Hearts is hatred, right? It's hatred. Hearts hate Hibs and Hibs hate Hearts. Liverpool and Everton, there's a dislike, but you can drive, like we could drive up to Anfield for a game. You know, all the fans are congregating round about the bus when you arrive. The mum and the son could have Liverpool strips on and the dad and the daughter could have Everton strips on. Like, you know what I mean? So, and you would see maybe an Everton fan or a scarf in with a Liverpool.
Right.
You know, so
Whereas that could never
you
happen.
Couldn't, that couldn't happen with Rangers or Celtic or Hibs or Hearts.
Did you prefer playing? Do you prefer that where it's not as much hate to
it
done?
Was the same though, because the build up, you know, the fans at the training ground, same for a week, you know, it was all that it mattered about and winning. And to be honest, I never had a great. We only ever beat them once when I was there. We beat them 3-0 at Goodison and we got a few draws. But they were a top, like, they were a really good team, you know. Like, I remember one game, just for example, that I'd been injured in the pre-season. I'd just got back and we were playing a home game, and Archie and Walter says, listen, we've got to play, just last as long as you can. So I was wing back, and Liverpool were playing 4-4-2. Jamie Carragher was right back and Steven Gerrard was right midfield, and I was out there myself with no pre-season. 54 minutes, I had cramp everywhere. Big toes, calves, thighs, everywhere. I couldn't move. 54 off.
What was the game that Gerrard smashed you? Was it 2002?
You know, that was unbelievable. It was a bad tackle. He got done after it. It never hurt me a lot, but it actually sparked a big brawl. The best thing about that for me was that all my teammates, everybody went and stuck up for me. It showed that we had a bit of a team spirit. But Stephen got done for 3 games and he apologised. Listen, these things happen in football and he's still the best player in England that I played against.
Really?
And the reason that I say that is there was other people maybe as on an equal at Man United and your Chelsea's and stuff like that. But he was like Liverpool, in my opinions, one of their very few world-class players. Whereas Man United maybe had 3, 4 or 5. So he was like the driving force, the heartbeat of that team. So even though we had a few run-ins, you know, I can still be big enough to say he was the best player. Mm. Not the best player, because I didn't really play against him that much, but the best player that I actually seen help his team.
Right.
And that one where he hit me, so we're flying out to Portugal, just me and my wife, and we're waiting on somebody boarding the plane. So there's a 3 there, then there's a spare seat. There's a 3 in the aisle, a spare seat, me and my wife.
Right.
So we're doing, who are we waiting on here? And I look, it's him.
No way.
He's walking all the way there. He's due to sit in the seat next to me.
Oh, what's the chances, eh?
So I think his mate swapped. We acknowledged each other, right, you know, and I think his mate swapped there, but he actually ended up. But listen, these things happen in football, you know, there's a few things. I've smashed somebody and had to go and apologise for it.
Right, on to Scotland, mate. Made your debut under Craig Bowen. How, you said your mum obviously got your first cap. How much an honour was it to play for Scotland?
It's the pinnacle.
Is that the pinnacle?
Aye,
is it?
For me. Listen, you won the Scottish Cup, playing down at Everton, all the other stuff, great. But we're all boys in the street. We all think, I'd love to play for my country, and I managed to do it. The only downside was when I actually made my debut, I missed my stag do. Because I got a late call up, so my dad and my best man had organised it. We've gone down to Newcastle, 40-seater, leaving for the Miners Club, buses full of the drink. They've paid all their hotel and everything, they're away for 2 days. I says, Dad, I says, we're cancelling it. No, he says, we're not cancelling it.
So they all went and
he says, we've got to look. So all the women and that are saying to them, and whose stag is it? Oh, he's not here. So they had the stag. I've not had a stag do. I'm coming up for 20 years married, I've not had a stag do. Charlie, if you're watching this, I'm going on a stag do.
You're doing it. But making your debut, how good a feeling was it? Was it Craig Brown? How did you find him as well?
I got on great with him, and obviously I came to work under him again at Aberdeen. I enjoyed working under him.
What type of manager is Craig Brown? Is he tactical now?
You know what, he's very knowledgeable.
Right.
I'm not saying so much as, he's not so much maybe as tactical as, like, in depth as like Davy Moyes and that, but as knowledgeable about European players and European teams at the time. And he had a very good way of not giving you too much information. And no trying to scare you, that's what I was trying to say earlier. Playing against, they knew we were playing against a world-class team in Croatia, but he went the other way. Aye, can he run as quick as he used to? Or he's not got the mobility as he used to. Or so he would try, listen, you've got to be wary of that, but you know, you'll be able to run off him or something like that. So he was very good at that, but his knowledge, and you know, whatever you say now, his success at Scotland speaks for itself. Yeah. Major tournament tournament after tournament after tournament, you know, so...
And loved a night out as well?
He did. Uh-huh. He did. But nowhere else. You know, I never ever seen Craig Brown have a night out. You know, his staff would sit and have a glass of wine or that, but I played under him for Scotland, I played under him for Aberdeen. I was never on a night out that I seen Craig Brown out with.
Right.
You know, so But I seemingly liked tonight.
Bertie Vogts came in to replace Craig. What was your initial impressions when he got the job?
But obviously, because his pedigree, you're thinking, really, really good. And listen, I got on fine with Bertie. He had a problem with me in terms of, he always played me like that, but he didn't think I treated friendly games as good, as serious as a competitive game.
What, he said that to you?
Aye, he would get me and say, you need to play the friendly game how you would play a competitive game. That was a little bit taken aback, because I played every game for Scotland as though it was my last. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was because...
Did that baffle you a bit, eh?
Aye, a wee bit, because, like, I never ever, to my memory, pulled out of a Scotland game on the Saturday and then played for... pulled out for a Scotland game during the week and then played for it. I may be wrong in that, and if I did, it was once or twice, but I never pulled out on during the week. Couldn't play for my country and then managed to play for my team on a Saturday. It does my head in. Mm. You know what I mean?
If you see players then...
Aye, the SFA straight away should just invoke the rule. Well, you can't play for your club then if you're not playing for us during the week. It does my... I had 46 caps for Scotland. Gutted I never got into the Hall of Fame. Biggest regret of my career that I never got into the Hall of Fame. When we were away with Scotland, I think it was maybe Richard Simpson or somebody on the SFA then... I was 28. I had 40 caps at 28 and I had pulled out of 40 squads with injury. I never actually made it to the pitch.
Right.
I pulled out of 30 or 40 squads with injury. And that's it's the biggest regret, because working on, I nearly got a cap or a start every time I was in a squad. I would have been on about 70, 75 caps at the age of 28. So I gutted that I never made the Hall of Fame. It's the biggest regret I've got in my career.
There you go, players at Pool, listen to that. How do you look battling Bertie Vogts here? What went wrong? Was it just too many players picked?
It's difficult to say. You know, we won the playoff game 1-0. One of the best performances we've done. But I think their manager at the time was Dick Advocaat. I think it was.
Was that the one that Fletch and Faddy done the combined
and scored? Aye, sort of deflected and it went in. And then, I don't think Dick Advocaat... You know normally when you name a squad for a double header, that's a squad, eh, unless you pick... I think at the time, Dick Advocaat losing the first game just went, nah, I'm not happy with that. And he brought in about five or six for the under-21s, and I think it was people like Van der Vaart stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think he thought, I'm not happy with that. So he just went out and says, right, you're coming in and playing. Uh-huh. And we were getting beat. I got taken off in that game, 6-0. And I remember, 6-0, and I looked up at the scoreboard, it was either 59 or 69 minutes. And I think it was Van Nistelrooy and somebody like Clivert or Seedorf go up to warm up. And I thought to myself, this has got to be 10. It was just like one of them. All the world-class players turned up for the night, for them. Mm. And they just absolutely battered us. Mm. Battered us.
Is that the biggest doing you've had in your career?
And I've been beat there 3 or 4-0 with Holland as well, but that, getting taken off, I didn't play well, we had won the first game 1-0, you know you're 90 minutes away from qualifying, that was a blow. Because we also came close to one where we kicked off at 5 o'clock out here against Italy and we had to win and we'd have got second place.
That was Walter Smith, wasn't it?
And then I think Alec took over and it was the one that they gave the free kick in the 90th minute. That was wholeheartedly the best atmosphere I've played in my career. It was a 5 o'clock kickoff against, so obviously the fans had been out to the pub and that. Yeah. The place was rocking. That was the best atmosphere.
Is that Panucci that scored that?
Aye, and that was the one where I was actually standing listening to the national anthem thinking, wow, this is a big, big game we're about to play. And we played well.
Because people say about that atmosphere here, do you know, agree
with
that?
But you've got to remember, see the tournament before that one. I think Italy, France and Ukraine had got to the quarter-finals and we got them all in our group.
That is that campaign, sorry. That
and
is that one.
In 2008, we came to within... I think if we'd won, we had qualified due to that group. You know, so that was ridiculous. That's when we beat France home and away. You have had Italy, Ukraine. That was a tough, tough group.
Yeah.
We also got close.
How come that squad was so good, sorry? Because that is a tough group and you came so close.
I'm not really... I think we had a real, club spirit about us, you know? Like, Walter had came in.
Was it Ali and Tommy?
Ali and Tommy, brilliant. Great backroom staff. Loved the training. Good bit of banter. Walter was, the figurehead that that Tommy and Ali actually needed, you know what I mean? Like, just to keep everybody on track, or I don't know what some of the things would have been doing, but it was just a perfect blend of the training and the man management, and then I think Alec came in and just sort of kept that going, and he added his own wee bit to it. Again, a very knowledgeable man about European football.
Yeah.
And so that's my regrets, really. I never qualified for a major tournament for Scotland when we were in a couple of good positions, and I never got to the Hall of Fame.
Brilliant, mate. What a career. And then you had to go at management, East Fife, Queen of the South. How did you find it? Is it tough?
Yeah, well, I didn't actually. The management at Queen of the South just sort of got thrown on me. I was going to go back and play for Lockie at Hearts as like a squad player, because you had a lot of youngsters. You wanted a wee bit of experience. I'd left Aberdeen. I was going to go back there. But there was a transfer embargo, and it kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And we says, well, listen, why do you not train with us during the week? Go and play at a part-time club. So I went at the start. I went and trained with East Fife on a Thursday and played for them on a Saturday, hoping that when the embargo got lifted, I was going back to sign for Hearts. And Right. Everybody was fine with that. I was happy to go and help the youngsters pass, because you had a lot of youngsters at the time. So,
did it not bother you going, dropping down and playing for East Fife?
No, I was all right with that. Like, folks say you'll struggle in that. I was all right. Cut a long story short, Robbie Nielsen was in as assistant manager at East Fife at the time. He got the job at Hearts. They says, look, do you want to go as assistant manager? It looked like the transfer embargo wasn't going to get lifted. I says, aye, I will. At that time, East Fife had 7 or 8 full-time players, people like Liam Buchanan and
Yeah. It's
people, Nathan Austin, people like that. So I says, right, I'll do it, because it doesn't look like I'm going to get back to Hearts, which would have been the perfect way to finish my career, start and finish at Hearts, but it didn't happen. So anyway, 6 games into it or something, the manager gets sacked and they says, look, will you take the caretaker? And I won the 2 games and they says, do you want to take the job? So it sort of got thrown upon me. And I didn't really play for the first 5 or 6 months, or the first half season. And Heggie that was in with me says, guys, you'd be better going back and playing. He says, you can easily still play at that level. And I thought, all right, you know what, I'll go back and play. So I actually went back and played for like another 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really enjoyed it. And I can honestly say, I never, ever once got frustrated about players at part-time level not being able to do things that the players that I'd been used to playing with. I never, ever got frustrated. What was frustrating was maybe you had a session planned for 16 and somebody'd phone you at 6 o'clock and say, Gaffer, there's been a gas leak, I can't get away. So you're then doing to 15 and you're trying to change your session as you go, or somebody turning up at 7 o'clock. They were but eventually, you become used to it. But I generally felt at the East Fife one, there was a disconnect with the board, the fan. I had to get everybody back together. I had to get all the volunteers, because there's a lot of volunteers at Queen of the South and East Fife that do a lot of work that get nothing. I had to try and get them involved. So, and we eventually got that. There was a lot of debt at East Fife at the time. We thought, you know, I had to make sure all the players had joined the PFA, because I didn't really listen to the player. I thought at one stage we might be going into administration. And then eventually we got into the playoffs, weren't successful, and then we won the league, we sold Nathan Austin, and we had sort of cleared the debt a bit. Right. We had cleared the majority of the debt. And then it just, at that time, Queen of the South came calling, and I just thought it was the right time to go into full-time. I knew it was going to be a difficult job.
Because of their budget and stuff
And the size of the squad and stuff like that. And it was a team that I think they had lost 8 in the bounce, so I was going into a team that had a lot of experienced players, but...
Low confidence.
And that was a challenge, because you were going in to manage players that were maybe, like Dale was only a couple of years younger than me.
Yeah.
Had been, like, Queen of the South legend and Stephen Dobie and people like that. So that was another challenge for myself, having to learn to go in and how to deal with older players.
Yeah. That's a great grounding that you've had, eh?
Well, that's right. Listen, I'm disappointed that I lost my job. You know, I don't think I deserve to lose my job, because I think in the main I've done a good job at Queen of the South. But unfortunately, I've been the manager 250 games. You know, it's great experience. And, you know, something will turn up. You know, whether it's another job as a manager, whether it's maybe an assistant to somebody I know, whether it's a decent-sized club as a reserve manager, something will... I want to be a manager, and you know, they say when you go in your coaching badges, I want to be a manager, but sometimes manager's jobs are hard to come by.
You need to
take a sideways step just to keep yourself in football, go and learn, you know. I often think about this, if I went as an assistant manager at a bigger club where you're more in charge of the training, well, to be at the East Fife and Queen of the South, you know, I shared that. I let the assistant manager, Doogie or Laurie Ellis, take the a good bit, because I like to stand back in the early part of the week and I like to watch it. I like to see who's at it, who's no, stuff like that. But as the assistant manager, you're more involved with the training rather than the
coaching.
So maybe that would be a good thing, you know what I mean? So I'm open to anything, really.
Guys, it's been absolutely brilliant. Loved it. Thanks very much, mate.
Cheers. Thanks very much.